God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye, and he could have done all of that. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." I love the translation I've heard from a friend of mine, "Light be." And it's because we believe that we speak about the happenings in this world and remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Two stories side by side, and they matter. They matter equally, although one has eternal implications to it. Not just eternal, but permanent. The excess deaths among children in the United States of America are skyrocketing. This is not being reported in the Mockingbird media. Fox News won't touch it now that Tucker's gone. Laura Ingraham has hinted at it. It is happening. Twitter, which Elon Musk purchased and announced himself to be a free speech absolutist, is not only hiring government censors, people who have censored for the government, they're literally recruiting intelligence types to censor right now election information. They've announced new censorship rules. I am going to contend, and I don't know Elon Musk, and I'm very thankful that he revealed through the Twitter files and letting journalists dig through the Twitter files the degree to which the government has been censoring and disappearing and punishing and installing a social credit system to remove people's words from being heard or seen in modern society. I appreciate that, but I believe he's one of the most accomplished liars in the world. Because at the same time as he did that and came in as the good cop, he began hiring, first of all, a CEO who does not like, well, anything that stands with God, it appears. And she does not like free speech. She won't define what she means when she says content might be lawful but awful. She won't define what awful means. The new Twitter terms of service, and Elon would like us to call the company X instead of Twitter, includes the power to ban users for commercial inviolability, meaning advertisers won't want their content. Well, this is a very, very clever lie. Twitter's method of selling advertising doesn't sell specific tweeters. It could. For instance, Tucker Carlson's program could be directly sold to advertisers. In that case, their ads would run within his content, and this would make sense. But Twitter's an algorithmic sales world, meaning they're selling audiences, not content. And if advertisers object to certain content, well, it's going to come from one direction, because this is the way the party has moved things. The party I define as the Mockingbird media, bureaucrats, the technocratic medical state, and academia. We know the views that are not to be mentioned. For instance, what I just talked about, the increase in excess mortality. Ed Dowd is a former BlackRock executive and a math expert. He's the founder of Finance Technology. It's Trax Pharma and medical tech. In the years that we were told kids were dying from the COVID flu, the mortality rates were actually -9% and 7% respectively, 2020 and 2021. Fewer kids died, thank God. Then something happened, and doctors are baffled. A 16% more deaths than anticipated in 2022, and right now it's 22% more deaths anticipated for 2023. And this is with kids, 12 to 15-year-olds and 5 to 11-year-olds, separate standings. Because he's a quant type, an expert mathematician, he ran a sophisticated model on this. A correlation coefficient. What this means is they're tracking a lot of variables and looking for commonalities. And guess what? The more often kids are injected, the more often they die. do not get your kids anywhere near these so-called boosters, which have not been tested on humans because they don't want to know what's going to happen. They want to be able to say, we didn't know it was an emergency. So one of the reasons we talk about Twitter and censorship is because the modified RNA shots are killing people. And only alternative media will talk about it, as we'll hear in this clip, like former Pfizer VP Michael Yeadon just did on Dr. Drew's program.
And when I looked at the mRNA vaccine, I looked at the Pfizer one, the Moderna one, I was horrified. My contention is that there are multiple deliberate toxicities built into these materials. And I can justify that. I ask your audience to think, how is it that their body plays nice with itself, doesn't attack itself unless you're unfortunate and have an autoimmune disease? But normally your immune system, like they're like military personnel. They stay in their barracks, they don't harm you. But when you're infected or you get a cancer maybe, they go to war. And you know the distinction, how it is that your body does that trick. It distinguishes self, all the things inside your body that are meant to be there. It doesn't attack anything foreign, anything non-self. It will attack. So when you take mRNA and get the human body to make a piece of a foreign organism, ladies and gentlemen, that's not my dog. When your body is instructed to make a piece of foreign, non-human protein, every cell that expresses that is now blaring a signal, I've been invaded. Your immune system goes to war and tries to kill it. Every single cell that this material goes into. These could never, ever be safe for a mass market use. If you just give it to mass population, they will attack their own cells and kill them. That is the reason why you see dozens of different side effects, because it's one mechanism of toxicity, but expressed anywhere in the body, wherever it happens to land.
It happens that studies show that half of the people injected with this garbage will keep producing the spike proteins forever until, God forbid, it kills them. This is a redesign of God's work by people who want to redesign God's work, by people who make no bones about the fact that they don't like how God designed us. They'd like to do things like make us allergic to meat. They have said it. It is important that we recognize the truth that I think God is revealing to us. By the way, Twitter's also given themselves the permission to collect biometric data. And this policy starts on September 29th. At least they're telling us. Why would they want biometric data? There's a lot of reasons. They'd like to be able to sell us specific pharmaceuticals and more. We know this right now because of independent media. That's how I found this. This is why we even talk about Twitter. Because it's not the real world. It's a self-selected group of people. And we're far better off having these discussions in our churches, in our communities, face-to-face, outside the arm of the censors, and we should rejoin that. And yet, we have to be told what's going on. And independent media is really the only place that's doing this, specifically about this mass killing of people. Glenn Greenwald is a journalist who was canceled and is now entirely independent. And earlier this year, he revealed how Venmo and PayPal attempt to shut down independent media.
Wyatt Reed, who was recently hired as a managing editor of The Gray Zone on Twitter, or the site formerly known as Twitter, reported the following. First, it was PayPal, and now Venmo has permanently deactivated my account, citing an unspecified rules violation. Their email says, quote, "We do not divulge our decision-making criteria, so I won't be getting an explanation." This was Wyatt Reed reporting this in November 9th, 2022. So they've been targeting this crowd at Gray Zone for a long time. This is him losing access both to PayPal and to Venmo, crucial sites for receiving payments for work or support from donors. If you're an independent journalist, you cannot function without a way to collect donations electronically. And so if these sites simply terminate the accounts of any independent media that questions establishment orthodoxy, as they are doing, it will destroy a free press. Here's the letter from Venmo, the email from Venmo that he received on November 8th, 2022. There you see it from Venmo. You have a new message. "Hello, Wyatt. My name is Sandilvia, on behalf of Venmo, she's probably Sabrina's sister. Thank you for taking the time to reach out to us. While we encourage the use of Venmo, we must ensure our users abide by the user agreement. After reviewing your account, we have found that your actions and activity have been in violation of this agreement. As a result, your account has been permanently deactivated as of June 28, 2022, and we regret to inform you that you can no longer offer the Venmo service. We do not make these decisions lightly, and when we do so, it is to help ensure that Venmo continues to be a safe way to make payments. If you have any questions regarding this decision, please note that we do not divulge our decision-making criteria in order to protect the systems that monitor activity on Venmo. I apologize that we are unable to assist you further. So that's it.
That's it. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that God has blessed us to be on a radio network that a Christian family in service of the Lord built. And you, Power, you make us uncancelable when you subscribe to the magazines, when you subscribe to and support this network financially. And I thank you for that. It's important. God is truth, and they're fighting against the truth. They cannot extinguish God's word, but they can extinguish information on the battle that's being fought against our bodies and against our freedom of speech. You know, he's back, and he posted something recently on Twitter. I'm talking about Donald Trump. But he was, of course, and we'll hear him in a second, what he just posted, but President Trump was very famously banned by Twitter and Facebook, and he posted this video on Truth Social.
The left-wing lunatics are trying very hard to bring back COVID lockdowns and mandates with all of their sudden fear-mongering about the new variants that are coming. Gee whiz, you know what else is coming? An election. They want to restart the COVID hysteria so they can justify more lockdowns, more censorship, more illegal drop boxes, more mail-in ballots, and trillions of dollars in payoffs to their political allies heading into the 2024 election. Does that sound familiar? These are bad people. These are sick people we're dealing with. But to every COVID tyrant who wants to take away our freedom, hear these words: we will not comply.
I hope that President Trump, I truly, in fact, I don't just hope, I pray on my knees that he has learned and truly believes what he learned, what happened and how he was lied to during the lockdowns, as they're talking now about reinstalling them. They're talking about reinstalling them at the same time as Vladimir Putin has announced that, and this is an announcement, he's brought his big nuke into play. He says it's now on combat duty. It's a nuke that's about 10, 11 stories tall and could sink, he says. The UK, it's one bomb, one mega bomb. They're bringing this back into play at the same time as they are doing a lot to constrict the food supply. It's called the always crisis, the ever emergency. And part of its job is to make sure people don't make sound decisions because people operate in fear. And yet you and I have nothing to fear. Let's not fear those who can harm the flesh. We fear only God. And we stand with God and we stand in victory. There is a great comparison, I think, between leadership style, management style in this next audio clip. This is a quick statement from Ron DeSantis. It provides a sample of something I deeply miss in government, and that is quiet competence.
The Cedar Key Bridge has officially been cleared by FDOT. And residents, first responders, and law enforcement can now pass. Residents should follow the guidance of the local emergency and law enforcement personnel in terms of any type of restrictions that may be on that, but the bridge has been cleared by the state. All state bridges at this point have also been cleared.
That is the unexciting, non-sexy, as the world would say, governing. That's what governance used to be, leadership, particularly through a crisis. In my judgment, DeSantis's leadership on this stands in vibrant contrast to what continues to be pushed down upon the people of Maui. I've committed to making sure their voices are heard. I don't think you want to miss what they say next. This is The Disciples View. My name is Todd Herman. I appreciate you listening to Disciples View. My name is Todd Herman. Coming up is a feature we do every day called the Tower of Babbling. It's just a way, I think, of honoring God, who's continually showing us the corruption at the top. And I think it does it in an opportunity for us to realize that, look, these people may seem really smart, like they've got the schemes all nailed and there's no way out. We know we have victory in God. And I'll tell you something that I've heard once in a sermon. It has stuck with me. And I hope we'll remember this. At no time ever will there ever be a case, ever, where God looks at a scheme like the modified RNA injections or the anything else, the central bank digital currency, where God looks at that and goes, wow, I did not see that coming. That's never happened. It can't happen. We live under the auspices and the kindness and the providence and the hosting of God Almighty, who is now and always will be. He knows every hair on their head and every plan in their mind. And more importantly, he knows their motives. Well, I don't know that that's more important. It is to me. I would like to see justice during our time on earth, but I do stand in absolute awe and kneel in awe that justice has already been meted out for people who do not repent. I remind ourselves, particularly me, because I can get spun up pretty quick in this stuff, that we live in this world, but we're not of it. And I don't want to be transformed by things in this world. So as we listen to this audio and the storytelling out of Maui, let us not be emotionally transformed into anger that causes us to sin. It's okay to be angry, but it is not okay to sin in anger. There are hearings going on in Maui, and since Biden has been there, since the figurehead made his appearance, the Mockingbird media would like to do the thing where they move on. And the news cycle comes to save the party of government. Well, we're not going to let that happen. So this is some video from one of these hearings. And in this first clip, you'll hear a Hawaiian lady confront government authorities over their handling of the tragedy on Maui.
And if this is just a money issue for you guys, get out of your seat, please. Nani, you speak about talking to the people. Hold a meeting in Lahaina Civic Center or wherever they have room for and hear the people, hear their stories, hear their heartbreak, hear their demise. You can turn that off because I'm not going to end until I end. And I'm not being disrespectful. You cannot limit the people's voice to 3 minutes. This is devastation. From the day that fire went on here in Honolulu and all the other islands, the people are the ones who got the donations to them. The water, the food, the clothing. Guess what? Coast Guard, FEMA, trying to stop us from going in. While the people inside Lahaina is suffering. Yes, we found other ways to get them there. And I could go on and on with the people who are showing themselves on social media. The celebrities, the president. Come on. He couldn't even pronounce names correctly. Why was he here? A photo op or truly for the people?
Great question. She mentioned Honolulu. Did you catch that? So the tragedy occurred in Maui, and the tragedy has a lot of people deeply suspicious. I have no reason at this point to believe that it was anything other than what it appears to be, except I have a lot of suspicions because of what they're doing now. Hey, you can't fly drones over Lahaina. Why? We're blocking views from the highway of this burned area with these large black tarps. Why? Why are you doing that? On the ground, in something far more accessible, there's this great big question about that hearing was on the Big Island. That was on Hawaii. This next clip, this very well-spoken woman asked some good questions like, why is the government making people leave Maui to get housing?
You folks here should be asking the people what they need. Not the representative sitting in state legislature. The people. Unfortunately, and I'm going to read this real quick, and this goes to the housing authority. Local authority housing or council housing is housing you can live in that is owned by the local authority. No, it should be owned by the people. You have to apply for local authority housing. Your council will assess your needs and decide if you are high priority. Every person in Maui is a high priority right now. There is tons of land in Maui. Why move them to the Big Island? Now you stress Big Island people. Now you take away from Big Island people. There are Maui people who came to Honolulu. I have a friend in here right now, Jessica, who housed Maui people. But yet we got no help. We got no help from the government.
They're moving people from one island to another, and this lady, I wish I had her name, makes a fantastic point. She says with these millions and millions of dollars that have come in, if you just sent this to the people, she said, I guarantee most of the people whose homes were lost, she said, I guarantee they were in the construction trades. She's part of a group, a Hawaii Homesteaders group, who assist people in building their own houses. And we know how much that decreases the debt you're going to be in. It would decrease the cost for government. If the money went straight to the people, could you control how they spend it? No, some people would not use it wisely. Others would. This week we learned, of course, that FEMA's putting their people in luxury hotels. And they said, oh, well, we get a government rack rate. Well, you could get a government rack rate at the Motel 6. So she makes this fantastic point. Now, this is being addressed, apparently, at a housing authority meeting. And the woman who is running that, we'll hear from next. But it draws this lady back to the microphone. So Nanny Medeiros, who gets to have the title of chief housing officer, made a statement that brought this lady we just heard from right back to the microphone.
This is not about, oh, we're going to make a memorial. I wish he was here because I would tell him to his face. Lahaina is not about making a memorial. I saw on so much social media that the banyan tree was more important than the people. It's a tree. Yes, it is something that's been there for decades. But guess what? In a couple more decades, another tree will be there for a couple decades. It's not about making a memorial for the people. You want to do a memorial? Help the people rebuild. Get up on you guys' feet and move. Listen to the people because you know what? Our people have so much good ideas.
My bad. That was actually the lady continuing. And she's addressing there, I believe she's addressing the governor, who the day after this disaster stood on ground that was, and I'm not trying to be gross, ground that was still smoking, where you could smell death. And he said he was already thinking about how the government could acquire that land and how they could build a memorial. And I think she's there addressing the governor. It's not about a memorial, it's about where people live. So this is the clip right here that contains Nanny Medeiros, the chief housing officer. She comes to the mic, and then the lady we've been listening to, she comes right back in this clip.
Mahalo for sharing your thoughts. You are right, I am targeted, and I would hope that my actions speak for themselves as I do this work, as I've done my work before. I know the messages that are out there on social media. I know what people are saying and spreading. This is why, in part, we are having public testimony right now. This is why, in part, I have said we will have meetings on Maui, and I welcome your input along with uncles, and I don't know where the other person went, but yes, we will keep listening and talking with you, and you will be involved in the efforts.
Can I say one thing? So if you want to hear from the people, stop making meetings last minute, because the people couldn't fly from Maui. They don't want money. Everything was lost. Bring it back to where the travesty is. That's on Maui.
Understand.
I have no problem flying up to Maui. My family is from Maui. Like every other Kanaka, we get family on every single island.
Why not on Maui? The distrust of government is justifiably so pronounced right now on Maui. And let me ask you, just truthfully reflect with me for a moment. When was the last time you said, I really, really trust the authorities? Last time. I've done it on a personal basis, where I've had interactions with government employees face to face. I came away going, you know what? That's a trustworthy person. We had a building inspector come to our home in North Idaho. And we had our roof replaced. We had a terrible, terrible hailstorm. Nothing compared to the people in Maui. But a lot of people up here got their roofs replaced. And the building inspector pulled up, stood back because he knows he's in North Idaho, introduced himself, showed his ID, said his name, and said, it is okay if I come and step on your property. Because he understands the Idaho North Idaho mindset. I said, absolutely, absolutely. Glad you're here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for what you're doing. And he showed himself to be trustworthy as he walked around the property, came up and said, I can't see your chimney, and I don't want to bother you with getting on your roof. I need to call the builder to make sure that he did this properly. And would it be okay if I have any questions, would it be okay if I came back to your property? He treated me with complete respect. Now, part of that is because there are people in North Idaho who don't like anybody with government. So part of it's self-preservation, but part of it's also that he's a decent man. Same with our local sheriff. You may have that same occurrence, but what about the system? When was the last time you actually said, thank goodness the system is involved at a federal or a state level? Now, that is key to this next statement, because Nanny Medeiros, the chief housing officer, and can I just say one thing, please? Government officials should stop adopting business titles. You're not a chief housing officer. You're a bureaucrat. And I don't mean to say bureaucrats can't be good people. You're the director of a government agency. And this title inflation, we had a president of the United States, George Washington, who did not want to be called president. He didn't want any form of title because George Washington, and I think God made him a humble man, he knew that with exalted titles comes exalted attitudes. And with exalted attitudes become now exalted actions, where you put upon the people what you want them to do, because after all, you're the chief. You have an important title. This is one of the big differences between he and John Adams. John Adams really liked those titles. And Adams, though a founder of this country, made some terribly authoritarian decisions, like outlawing dissent, as we talked about earlier this week. If we want to have decent public servants, and that means something, people who earn less salary for a longer job, longer tenure, the inability to be fired, really, then we need to get away from these exalted titles like chief housing officer. So Nanny Medeiros told everybody, please be polite. Please limit your speaking time. So she reiterated that I didn't hear anything that was particularly disrespectful, perhaps suspicious, people conveying their suspicions and their frustration. But in this next clip you're here, Nanny Medeiros didn't like this man's choice of topic, which she contends is not on the agenda, but I know hundreds of people in Maui who seem to feel this is exactly the agenda now.
This is an emotional meeting. Nani, you mentioned a moment ago, this is not about Maui. This is absolutely about Maui. And my concern, and I'm actually speaking to each of you sitting around this table. Each of you have a placard representing an organization. And I have a question before I actually have my testimony. By a raise of hands, Are any of you participating in an event, in a restructuring as a stakeholder on Maui at any level, whether you're state, federal, private, or a private citizen? Are you engaged? Are you a stakeholder? Are you written? Is your name listed as a stakeholder of any of the redevelopment plans regarding a smart city? By a raise of hands, I would like to see a raise of hands, because the information is out there. Raise of hands. I can tell you, Department of Planning, DLNR, DBED, Housing, all of you, all of these agencies, and I'm not saying to you directly, but you're here representing these agencies, therefore, it is your responsibility to tell the truth. Each one of these agencies have signed on as stakeholders for the redevelopment of a smart city in Maui. I'm asking you again, who has signed on?
So, I'm sorry, but I asked for testimony pursuant to the agenda, and there's nothing on the agenda about smart cities, and if we could also...
But here's why people say this is the agenda. Now, you can take this from the most extreme suspicions people hold, and they're very, very extreme, and in a decade ago, they would have been unthinkable. There are people who think they burned Lahaina. I can't get there. I am aware of abortion at an industrial scale. We just did, in the first segment of the show, Ed Dowd contending that the modified RNA injections are purposely harming people. I can get there. Because the people behind these injections have said we need to reduce the world population by 7.5 billion people. I can get there. Because a reasonably skeptical look at the design of those injections, for even someone like me, I'm a rodeo clown. And I looked at the design of these injections and said, wait a minute, you're going to force people's genes to produce a poison? That's going to make the immune response insane. So I can't get there that they've burned people. But the reason people suspect this is the good old saying of the government, never let a good crisis go to waste. There are people who believe that what they want to do is build in smart cities. What are smart cities? Well, like 15-minute cities. Everything's a QR code. Everything you do is tracked, and you need that permission to take your car more than 15 minutes outside of your little village. Gosh, wouldn't it be a perfect place to do that? An island where in order to leave, you need to go jump on an airplane, which would require a QR code and perhaps permission. This is not an outside chance. There are people who want to do this. You're listening to Disciples View. Thank God. Thank you for the program. Thank you for you. My name is Todd Herman. Appreciate you so much. And let me say something I haven't said. It's by the way, I'm Todd Herman. This is the Disciples View. I haven't said this clearly enough yet. For people like me who have, God has planted a dream. A dream that began in 1985 to do talk radio. It's you guys helped that dream come true. Now, that's the least important portion of this statement. I am simply, like you, a clay vessel. And thank the Lord that he can work through us as broken of vessels as we are. And he loves us and continues to believe that we're his masterpiece. He doesn't believe things. He knows things. But without you guys, there is no me in this position. So let me stop for a second. And a belated, sincere thank you for that. And your support of this network is key to making me and the other hosts here and the other programming uncancelable. Because the cancellation of truth, we've talked about that now almost, well, we talked about a lot in the first segment. Everything I just played from Maui came from outside the Mockingbird media, which again wants to move on. Let me say also in preface to this, I was going to discuss Mitch McConnell. He mentally froze. Full disclosure, I started and sold a big data company called Crowdverb years and years ago with some friends of mine who worked in and around DC. And I regret it. I regret being involved in that business. And I got to meet McConnell, and full disclosure, our company did some work on his campaign. I regret that. Because of what I've since learned about McConnell and the way he's made a lot of his money, et cetera. He did some great things. He is very responsible, but only because of President Donald John Trump, for the end of Roe versus Wade. Not that the federal government cares. They're going to continue to break, to violate that ruling in every way they can. And it's a great, great godly victory. I pray that Mitch truly knows the Lord, because I don't know that he does, and I don't know that he doesn't, but if I'm looking at behaviors, I'm going to think he doesn't, and I'm pretty sure there's a forest of logs sticking out of my eye right now. I'm pretty sure the Lord Jesus might come along and go, you should probably hire a logging firm to go through your eyes before you start pointing out splinters in other people's. So I hope the Lord will search me for my unrighteousness. When Mitch McConnell froze trying to answer a simple question and a lady tried to come to his rescue, it was very much a nursing home, as Nikki Haley's pointed out. And this isn't about age. I have a friend of mine who is well into his 70s and he is mentally sharper than I am. This is about one man, but it's not. Because you have the Senate minority leader mentally incapacitated, at least at that moment, and severely so, and a president who is also often mentally incapacitated, and often so. As we look at this, I think it's one more reminder that God's energy, God's wisdom, God's intelligence, it doesn't expire. And that we can find new leaders. But what about godly leaders? I talk about this because when we live in this moment where that's happening with McConnell and Biden, we should be able to turn to someone to say, hey, he should step down from day-to-day decision-making. I get it that if he retires right now, a Democrat governor will replace him with a Democrat. I understand the tactics of that, but the Republican Party should not have Mitch McConnell in this decision-making process. And I think this is why I'm pretty certain that Joe Biden doesn't run anything. But who runs us then? Well, it's unelected people. One more sign of the corruption. The congressional doctor has given Mitch McConnell a clean bill of health. Dr. Brian Monahan said he's fine. He's not fine. We've seen this time and again. But we run a feature here we're about to run that reminds us, when you're paid to lie, you can expect to have your work product featured right here on this program.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
This is the woman I refer to as the spokesliar. And I really, gosh, I try hard not to mock. When I use a title like that, I'm trying to be specific. I'm trying to be clear. I'm trying not to live in lies. This is not someone being a spokesperson. This is a spokesliar. Her job is to stand in front of an audience of journalists and not answer questions, and when she has to lie. And she does this by consulting a binder of lies written down for her. It's so important that we call things what they are. So I call her Spokesliar Version 3. I know that she has a name. I don't mean to disrespect the existence of her name. I just like to be clear. In this clip, Peter Ducey asked this woman who we pay to lie to us about what used to be our southern border where nearly 8 million people have illegally crossed since Joe Biden was installed.
Eric Adams, the New York mayor, is saying about these migrants in New York City, any plan that does not include stopping the flow at the border is a failed plan. So why aren't you guys stopping the flow at the border?
We are stopping the flow at the border. If anything, what the president has been able to do on his own without the help of Republicans in Congress, something that he had to do on his own again because Republicans refuse to give the funding necessary to deal with a situation, a broken immigration system that has been broken for decades. They choose, what they choose to do is play politics, but the president has put a plan that is indeed, the data showing is that it is indeed stopping, slowing down the flow of unlawful migration. And that is because of the work that this president continues to do without the help of Republicans.
Leftist mayors and leftist governors are now calling for the National Guard to help contain these large groups of illegal immigrants. There are people, as we've mentioned on the program, looking for government housing. They've been in line for that. It was New York last week. This week, it's Chicago. And these are people of color. And we're told that the Democrats are, of course, simply looking out for people of color. In this case, in Chicago, a very well-spoken, I guess I could have pulled audio of her, this very well-spoken woman who happened to be black, and she thinks she's a woman. I think she's a woman, but who knows? She spoke about not wanting the people here. Now think of this, if this had been a white person saying, we don't want them here. it would have been construed as a racist statement. I think what the lady is saying is we don't want the added expense and chaos of people who came to the country illegally to put weight upon our systems. The weight being put upon the systems is purposeful. It follows a plan that's part of the Cultural Revolution. It's a plan called Cloward Piven. And it was created by two very well-respected leftist professors. One of them, Francis Fox Piven, helped design and sign into law Motor Voter. The entire purpose of Cloward Piven is to flood every American system. If it runs on money, flood it with money so inflation goes up and people can't afford things. If it runs on law and order, flood it with bureaucratic diktats. If it runs on enforcing laws, flood the prisons until there's no room in the prisons and you have to let people go. If it runs on cities and commerce, flood the cities with people so that it creates chaos. The whole point is to have every system under attack at every single moment. And the whole point is to drive people to a situation where they say, we'll do anything to get it normal again. We'll do anything just to feel safe. We'll turn to any human who simply says, I'll make you safe. It's an era of invented crises, and God is not shocked, not surprised, not taken aback. He has warned us about good being called evil and evil being called good. Those of us resident in the Word, those of us who abide, can simply pick up our Bible and look at a whiteboard and say, you are here. Now, we don't know the day or the time when the Lord Jesus will come back because he said, hey, we'll be a thief in the night. We don't know, but we can look up on the whiteboard and go, golly, look at that. There's a lot of good being called evil and evil being called good. And I think God puts things like this on display so we can listen to the spokesliar and say, goodness, can you possibly think anyone believes you that the border's secure during a week that we found out you had the Border Patrol weld open the gates so they couldn't be shut down as the figurehead is trying to sell the remnants of the wall, the parts to complete the wall before a law passes that says they have to complete the law. This lady will make a lot of appearances in our feature called The Tower of Babbling. So the spokesliar in this clip was confronted on another issue. When asked a follow-up question, she simply paged back in her lie book and reread the same lie.
Question on the big election topic, transgender rights. Former Governor Nikki Haley and presidential candidate says, quote, the idea that we have biological boys playing in girls' sports, it is the women's issue of our time. Does the president agree that this is a women's rights issue?
So we've talked about this many times. This is the Title IX specifically. And again, we've talked about this multiple times. It's a complicated issue, and there are a wide range of views on this. The Department of Education proposed a rule, as you know, that gives schools the flexibility to establish their own athletics policies. And so while establishing guardrails, right, to prevent discrimination against transgender kids, and that is something that is incredibly important that the president wants to make sure that we also do that as well. So I'm just not going to get ahead of that. As I said, there's a proposed rule Title IX that the Department of Education has laid out. So I'm just not going to get ahead of that as it relates to the Department of Education.
Daughters, does he care that girls are allowed to compete in sports without fear of injury? Does he think it's fair for girls to have to compete against biological males?
I just answered the question. It is a complicated issue. It is truly a complicated issue with a wide range of views, a wide range of views. There is no yes or no answer to this. It is complicated. There's a rule that the Department of Education has put forward, and we're going to let that process move forward. We want to make sure that while we establish guardrails with this rule, that we also prevent discrimination as well against transgender kids. But again, a complicated issue with a rule.
She just went back to the binder and reread the same thing. I'm sure you heard that. Complicated. Okay. We are living in this world, but not of it. I talked to a father who told me the most amazing story about his daughter. His daughter fell in to the lie of transgenderism. And she demanded hormones and surgery and pronouns. Parents said, she said, you got to use my pronouns. And her parents, very wisely, because God helped them through this. The Holy Spirit took hold, said, we won't use a male pronoun for you because you are not a male. We will not use pronouns. So their language became, well, complicated, to borrow a phrase. But they did that for a very specific reason, because God had led them into this conclusion that do not be the people that the demons are telling your daughter you are. So don't be the person who refuses. Do something they don't expect. Take the awkward step. Don't use pronouns in your speech. Revert to a childhood nickname. She doesn't want to be called her birth name. Use her childhood nickname. You used it anyway. They had to leave the separate country of Washington to protect their daughter, because all she would have had to have done is say, hormones and surgery now, and she would have been medically kidnapped. Now, you've heard that that bill just became law. They've been doing that in Washington, Oregon, and California for about 4 years. They just have been doing it on individual cases. Now they can do it to your kid or your grandkid if they can get on a bus and get to those states. So they had to leave. They'd started a prayer group for her, and men and women from around the West Coast prayed for her constantly. When they got to their home, ultimately in Montana, they had a recommendation for a school for her. Now, this will come to you as a complete shock. They were recommended to send her to a school where every kid was pretending to be of a different gender. And the parents prayed about this, but why? They did. One night, sitting around the dinner table with her mom and dad, this girl said, there's a boy at our school who thinks he's a dog. She said, no, guys, I'm not kidding. He thinks he's a dog, and his older brother walks to him to school with a leash. And the boy's on his hands and knees. He feeds him dog treats. And she said, no, I'm not kidding. The entire family was looking at her. She said, it's crazy. And her older brother put his hand on his sister's shoulder and said, it's all madness to me, every bit of it. And she looked up at the table and she said, dear God, I get it. Dear God, I actually get it. And God removed from her that delusion. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we speak because we believe in His Word. This is The Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.